Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Icicles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Brandy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, home free.
This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, we christened the new Max Fun World Headquarters with a wonderful program featuring Mr. Rob Delaney. Oh, it's really vulgar, too. Let's go. The program is Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm the host of the show, Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Broadcasting live on tape this week from the all-new Sound of Young America Inner Sanctum here at Max Fun World Headquarters, the Tower.
Not to demystify it. I know you're trying to, you know, kind of give this a, you know, kind of a fantastical air. Jesse just moved the studio upstairs.
Yeah.
I don't want to take the wind out of the sails. Like, I know that,
but that
I
was
mean, again, you've got an image.
That was a mystical raven, though.
It was.
Yeah.
We should chase it out with a broom.
Joining us this week on the program, he's one of America's favorite entertainers. He has over 3 million Twitter followers because of his delightful tweets. He's a professional comedy writer and performer.
Everyone's going to be so disappointed when you don't introduce Ashton Kutcher.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rob Delaney.
Hello, friends.
Oh, it's great to have you here. I only wish that people in our podcasting audience could see how handsome you are.
That's kind of you.
Because
I think that's common knowledge.
I think Rob Delaney.
Just in general, when people talk about Rob Delaney, and they do, there's always the question: why is this handsome man so funny?
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Jordan.
Something they asked a lot when a young Ashton Kutcher broke onto the scene.
Yeah, the podcasting scene.
Yeah.
When Ashton Kutcher started podcasting. Well, it's great to have you here, Rob Delaney.
It is a genuine pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Sorry if we made you uncomfortable talking about how handsome
I'll get over
so
it.
We brought a real blush to your cheek.
I think I did produce physical blush.
I didn't think he could get more good looking, but that blush on his cheek is really kicking it up a notch. Oh, great to be here. It's over 1,000 degrees inside the new Sound of Young America Inner Sanctum.
Yes, we are now slightly closer to the sun.
Yeah, geez Louise. I feel like the wax on our wings is about to melt.
I was also thinking of an Icarus joke.
We are overcome by our hubris.
Yeah, right.
Jordan, right before we went on...
Mm-hmm.
You were saying that there is an outside possibility that for your work as a television broadcaster,
mm-hmm.
you may be sent to the gathering of the Juggalos.
Yes, it's in the pre-planning phases right now. A big part of my job, a big part of kind of an initiative this summer, is to go to a lot of summer music festivals. So next weekend, I'm doing Warped Tour, as I usually do.
Excellent.
It's my yearly reminder of how old I am and how I'm going to die soon. For me, this feeling is mainly triggered by seeing a 15-year-old girl in short shorts with something written on the behind. This to me just kind of triggers this sense of mortality.
It's amazing to me that you can... With each passing year, return to the Warp Tour.
Yeah.
It's as though every summer I was assigned to cover Smokin' Grooves.
Sure, yes, absolutely. And then I will be going to something called Hootenanny, which is kind of a maybe like a rockabilly version of the Warp Tour. Like, still kind of punk rock, but like, you know, lots of...
Girls with
cherry dresses.
Lots of
cherry dresses, wingtips.
We both have exactly the same go-to.
Yeah, well, it's descriptive.
Yeah,
this will make me feel young and spry.
Sure,
I think.
Sure,
I think this will make me feel like my life is just beginning.
Because this is a subcultural phenomenon that peaked in 1989 rather than 1996.
Sure.
Can I say quickly, if there's a festival that you get excited about each year, you're a silly person.
You know, here's something that I maybe thought about bringing up last week, but it's still kind of a lingering feeling. Coachella is a big thing for Southern California.
Yeah, sure.
It's this kind of 3-day...
monstrous, formerly what you might call an indie rock festival.
Yeah, but now it's like Paul McCartney and Kanye West
by
do
Kanye
it.
West. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, and you know all the hip kids in Southern California, you know, go to it. Everybody talks about it. Everybody comes back. Okay, first of all, did you go to Coachella? No. Oh my God, why? Nah, it doesn't seem like my thing. Did you have fun? No, it was awful. Like, everyone has a uniform. I have never heard somebody come back from Coachella going, God, that was fun. They're like, it was hot. Everybody played for 10 minutes. Water was $90. Like, I've never heard a good experience. Coachella and mushrooms, to me, are kind of the same. Like, people try and get me to do it, but they can never. No one can ever relate a good experience.
I actually went to Coachella once. I'll never go again.
Okay.
Even though I did enjoy it, and I'm going to contradict myself and reveal myself as a silly person.
No.
But I went to see the Pixies because they said they were only going to play Coachella. So I thought, oh, this is my only chance to see them.
You should have seen the fine print and then 90 other area shows.
Yeah, and then for a few more years, we'll play every other night. And
I remember this too, and I remember thinking that might
be reason. So I thought, oh, well, I better go. So I went, and I was actually surprised by how well-run I thought Coachella was. It was 125 degrees, so that negated the fact that it was well-run, and I don't care and would never go again. But it was astonishingly well run. I saw the Pixies. It was one of the best experiences of my life, for real. It was so good that Radiohead played after, and I was like, whatever. And then I went home. But it was like a surgical strike. I didn't even sleep over. Went and saw the Pixies, like caught a little of Radiohead, and I was like, let's roll. And then drove back.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's the secret, is not camping and, you know, trying to fuck someone while on mushrooms.
There's a hip-hop equivalent to this. I mean, in my world, the world of music that I enjoy, there is a traveling festival called Rock the Bells.
Sure.
And like this year, it's headlined by Lauryn Hill, who's performing her whole solo album.
Wow.
In its entirety. She's more coherent than she used to be, but not 100% coherent from what I can see.
I think that maybe wasn't the last thing I heard from Lauryn Hill some racist stuff. Isn't that maybe the last public thing she did was say some racist stuff?
I think the saying some racist stuff was an urban legend.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
But she is a little mental.
Okay.
But, you know, God bless her. She's very talented.
Sure.
But this thing comes through Los Angeles. But the Los Angeles show, quote unquote, because I wanted to go there for The Sound of Young America, because there was all these artists that I wanted to interview for The Sound of Young America. But the Los Angeles show is actually in San Bernardino.
I don't know where that is.
And yeah, it is it's on the way to Max FunCon, so that's why I know exactly where it is. It is a large town.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would get a lot of beef, even from San Bernardiners.
Yeah.
Which is what I presume a person to like say.
They're
that
called San Berdudus.
It is a real shithole. I think the fact that you can call it San Berdudus is its sole positive characteristic. And it's also 170 degrees there all the time. I just don't. That sounds so horrible to me.
My Warped Tour next weekend is in Pomona, which is it's kind of San Berdudus South. Anyway,
to Pomona's credit, it is the home of rapper Sugar Free.
Okay, well, I'll make sure to bring that up.
Yeah.
At some point.
Sorry, I cut down your...
No. Oh, no, I was just saying that sometimes those big music festivals are in the world's worst places.
So, it's a rough thing. I mean, anytime you get 100,000 people together for something, like, what even works in that? I mean, honestly, I have to say that I have never seen a music performance in something bigger than like an amphitheater type setting, like, you know, your 3,000 seat the Concord Pavilion in the Bay Area. You know, I think I saw Al Green and I saw D'Angelo there one time. But anything bigger than that, even that was like not so cool.
Yeah.
And I kind of don't see how. I mean, I can understand like for something where you're just going to sit back and relax and drink a beer or whatever, how you would want to watch something in something that big. But even like a stadium, I don't know, what do you even do in a stadium to make it seem cool?
Riot.
Yeah. Okay, true.
Yeah, like if you feel like if you're starting to feel bored, just pick up and throw a garbage can.
When I was a sophomore in high school, I saw Guns N' Roses, Faith No More, and Metallica play at the Foxborough Stadium in Massachusetts. And that was when...
Three of the biggest rock bands of our time.
And that was when Axl Rose would famously come on whenever, you know, not when the show was scheduled. So Metallica played. They were great. As a matter of fact, James Hetfield had just broken his arm, so he, on a skateboard on stage. So they had the guitarist from Metal Church playing for him, and they were awesome. And then Guns N' Roses decided to just wait a couple hours. So it turned into a full-scale riot, and all the police came in. I saw things I've never seen before. I saw... human beings being thrown through the air like torpedoes at cops.
Missiles? Yeah, sure. Yes.
I was very, very afraid, and but I didn't die. I'm sure some people did,
yeah,
but I didn't. And so that's one thing you can do.
They eventually go on?
Yeah, they did.
And, okay. And the rioting stop or did it get worse?
I think it stopped. Okay. They were like, yeah, we just wanted the music. And Axel was like, yeah, but I like a little rioting first.
I'm surprised. I guess they probably got warmed up for the riot when the guy from Faith No More started making weird sounds.
Yeah. Mike Patton.
Yeah, just going.
They were, you know what? They were very good. They were excellent, Faith No More. In fact, out of those three bands, Guns N' Roses, of course, well, they don't exist anymore. Metallica is actually good again. They were terrible for like 15 years minimum, and their most recent album, Rick Rubin produced, so they're good again. And Faith No More, I'd see any day of the week.
Any day of the week.
Yeah.
Even a Wednesday. You got stuff to do on Thursday. Yeah. It's almost Friday. You're gearing up.
I saw My Morning Jacket this last Wednesday, so I only say that to show you I will go to a concert on a Wednesday. I'm not messing around.
Jeez.
Jordan, we're talking about, you're going to go see, you're going to see this, what is this thing called? Warped Tour.
Warped Tour.
Rockabilly Club.
Yeah, Rockabilly Club, sure.
The Great 88s.
Yeah. It's got like Hootenanny, yes.
Yes. Gene Cuff Club.
Yeah. Yes.
Then what
surprising
else?
Surprising amount of Mexicans, yes. Are you going to see that?
Are you
going
to go to the, what are you going to, Bonnaroo? Tennessee,
no.
Bonnaroo?
Yeah, I think we will go to Rock the Bells. It's kind of a yearly Fuel thing. I actually haven't gone, every year they've done it, they've sent somebody else, but I may go this year.
I remember you emailing me a list of people that were going to be at Rock the Bells to mark which ones were a thing and which were not a thing.
Yes. No, I've done that to you a couple of times. Yes. You're
fun.
Always very helpful in that regard.
That's fun.
Because, yes, they have me, whether I host it or not, they have me kind of do the pre-production on it, and I have to schedule the interviews, and I don't...
Oh, jeez.
A rapper from a windshield wiper.
You got to call up Big Money Sean.
Yeah.
It's like Yellow Wolf's manager.
Sure.
Try and talk to that guy. Mm-hmm. He wants you to send him a page.
No. And dealing with rapper managers, and I do it once a year for Rock the Bells. It's to deal with these rapper managers. And half of the time, I would say, of the 20 calls that I made, 10 of them were kind of lax about scheduling an interview with their guy, but then tried to pitch me some other product they were involved with. Like, it's like, hey, but yo, I got a premium tequila. Like, oh yes, I would like to do a story on your premium tequila.
Yes,
anyways.
Good point.
So they all have some sort of other side thing that they're promoting. Anyway.
But Gathering of the Juggalos, which for those few out there who still don't know what that is, this is a concert/festival hosted by the Insane Clown Posse that features stand-up comedy stage, of course, which our friend Brian Posehn is going to be performing on this year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Along with like Rowdy Roddy Piper, I think, and a wrestling stage and a music stage. And our friend Colt Cabana, who was a guest on a professional wrestler/comedian, Colt Cabana, who was a guest on The Sound of Young America recently in Chicago, is going to be wrestling on the wrestling stage. And then the Insane Clown Posse music stage, I guess the big headliners are ICP.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do all their hit records.
Sure.
I guess. Like, I'm the guy, I'm the rapper with the clown makeup. That's one of their big hits.
Knife Dick.
Yeah. But what's interesting, here's the thing about I really hope you do go to the Gathering of the Juggalos.
I mean, too.
I would fear for your safety to
some
extent.
Yeah, and I am a little bit concerned that maybe I seem like I seem like good stabbing material.
I'd stab you.
It does feel like the kind of event where the security is handled by Hell's Angels.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Paid in beer.
No, they're handled by a group that thinks Hell's Angels are pussies.
Yeah, probably.
Whatever group this is.
But I want to say something about the Gathering of the Juggalos, because it was, you know, last year it was the source of much derision because they made a laughable promotional video for it, and because they had this bizarro comedy stage that featured, like, J.J. Walker and Gallagher, too,
sure.
And just the weirdest comedian list you could ever imagine. However, that having been said, this year, it is as though the music lineup, specifically the music lineup, I have no taste in wrestlers outside of having met Colt Cabana and thinking he's a nice fella, but the music lineup is essentially clown band, clown band, clown band, and then everything below that, Jesse's Coachella. Like, just every hip-hop artist that I love in the world, at least in the what you might call the non-alternative vein, is fucking performing at the Gathering of the Juggalos. Like, it is the greatest hip-hop concert in the history of...
So you're saying that everyone who is not wearing clown makeup and who doesn't cook meth out in the desert in an RV
This thing is
rapper.
Completely insane. They've got E-40, mm-hmm. who, as you know, one of my favorite Bay Area rapper, one of my favorites of all time. DJ Quick, another one of my favorites of all time, Los Angeles rapper. They've got... Their lineup is insane. Like, there are literally, like, there are 10 acts that I would love to see at the Gathering of the Juggalos, and that is not an exaggeration. And so what I want to know is... Like, how is it that I came to have the exact same taste in music as the Insane Clown Posse who
That's
booked
fascinating.
This thing, right? You got to figure the Insane Clown Posse are the guys who pick these acts.
Yeah, or, you know, someone close to them that kind of knows what the audience likes. I don't know. Yeah, what's your explanation for it? Do you, like, what is it? Like, are they trying to make Gathering of the Juggalos more, you know, mainstream, or...
Well, like, what
is going on?
One of the weird things about... Okay, so they have their own special world.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing about the Insane Clown Posse are terrible at making rap music.
Very bad.
And I say that as a fan of hip-hop. If anyone out there is, like, a rock and roll fan and you're worried that you might be misjudging them because you don't know the aesthetics or something like that, no. They are genuinely horrible. However, they have built this world for themselves... Right, where, like, they have these fans that identify with them so strongly, they wear the makeup, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that they think of themselves, well, I will put this question to you. Do you think that they think of themselves as legitimate music artists, or do you think that they are self-aware enough, and, like, do you think that they are bringing in these people because they think of them as their peers? Or do you think of them? Do you think they're bringing in these people because, in their mind, they're bringing in ringers? Like, it's like putting a 16-year-old guy on the Little League team.
Okay. Or that episode of The Simpsons where all the professional baseball players had to work at the nuclear power plant.
Yeah, exactly.
So they could play on the softball team.
Is E-40 a Steve Sachs-like figure?
Well, yeah, I guess the kind of the weird situation would be, okay, it's like any 40, like... Like, if the Insane Clown Posse are as universally reviled as you say they are, is he having to bite his tongue during this, or
that's another thing. Okay, so I don't know. You know, our friend Andrew WK, who's been a guest on this program, been a guest on The Sound of Young America many times, he performed at the Gathering of the Juggalos 2 years ago, I think. And I watched a video of him performing at the Gathering of the Juggalos, and Andrew WK is such a whirlwind of love and good vibes and party fun, that he somehow manages to kind of laugh, have fun, and rock out while people are just throwing shit at him. And he kind of gets the crowd on his side. I watched this YouTube video. It's really pretty amazing. It's a little bit boring, but also pretty amazing, of him, like, converting these people over the course of literally 15 minutes of performing. But there is still a sizable portion of the crowd that is there to hurt him. Like, I don't want to soft pedal this. And I don't know. Okay, so there are these people, like, okay, the top five artists here, the top six artists here are the Insane Clown Posse, twisted.
Is there an apostrophe or a slash in there? Dash?
No. Blaze and ABK, who are both clown rappers. Boondocks, who I don't think started as a clown rapper. I think he started as a regular rapper, not a well-regarded one, but a regular rapper, and then turned into a clown rapper. Of course, Psychopathic Riders.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the top. And I want to be clear, this is the top listing. Dayton Family, who are actually a very high credibility gangster rap group of the mid-1990s. And then below them, I want to again emphasize, listed below those seven or eight people, here's who we have. Busta Rhymes, Ice Cube, George Clinton, DJ Quick, E-40, Exhibit, Hammer, Mystical, Paris, Juvenile, Tech Nine, and then you can start getting back into the clown rappers.
Wow.
Then you start in with Psycho Jesus and Lil Whitey. that is like it would be difficult for me to put together a lineup with musicians that I liked more than that list. Like, there are some that I like okay, you know, like I'm an Exhibit fan, definitely, but I'm not like wish that I could see an Exhibit show. Juvenile, Tech Nine. I mean, these are like super high credibility hip hop acts. And then like, but they are listed below the Twisted and above Kung Fu Vampire. I don't know what now. Here's the thing that I genuinely made me not be able to understand it. So in my head, I'm thinking, this is a group of rappers who want to put their weird world next to actual rappers,
mm-hmm,
and get some credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And even the non-famous, like Paris, for example. Like, I bet there are a lot of non-hip-hop fans out there who don't know who Paris is. But Paris was like the Bay Area's answer to Public Enemy in the early 1990s. This sort of incendiary black nationalist and brilliant, and also a brilliant producer, who after he quit hip-hop went on to get a master's degree in finance, and then recently came back to hip-hop about maybe 5 or 8 years ago and made a couple more really great records, and actually produced a whole Public Enemy record six years ago or so.
Whoa. Which one do you happen to know?
This is, I can't remember what it was called. Okay. It was a 2000s Public Enemy record. It was a good record, too. So I'm thinking like, oh, they're just trying to put their thing next to something super credible and then... You know, and I mean, credible is relative. Like, Mystical's a great rapper. He's also a convicted rapist. So, like, you know, as much as I love Bouncing Back, I do feel bad about loving it because of the rape.
Yeah. Yeah. But, that'll sour anything.
But here's the thing. Not only are the comedy headliners Jimmy J.J. Walker, Brian Posehn, and Harland Williams.
Wow.
Just some comedians they've heard of, I guess. I don't know. How do you come up with that lineup?
I think Harland Williams is probably there on the strength of Half Baked.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I mean, Brian Posehn's fantastic, nice guy, and a very good comedian. Hannibal Buress, one of my favorite comedians,
sure,
in the world. Somebody who I pay attention to and study. A comedian of my generation who I pay very close attention to because everything that he does, I think, either I wish I had thought of that or, oh, I know I could never think of that, you know, either because I'm A, not that funny, or B, I'm just not him. So he's just somebody that I view as like a peer, but that I very much admire and just am crazy about. He did it a couple of years ago, and I think he might have done it. Like, I have an ethic where I will perform almost anywhere, you know, because I believe that you're not funny if you're only funny at the UCB. You're not funny if you're only funny at the Houston Improv. You're funny if you're funny at both. And if you're not, then you're not funny. Hannibal Buress is funny anywhere, and I think he probably wanted to challenge himself because he's a hard worker and a super funny guy. Anyway.
So there are all these credible acts. There are all these horrible acts. And then in between, there's Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer.
Unbelievable. The Reverend MC Hammer.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
destroys any construct of who they're booking at this show,
right,
that I could come up with.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I'm like, because this is like a carefully curated list of rappers,
mm-hmm,
and a carefully curated list of clown music men. But then right in between, it's just like, yeah, and fuck it. Let's book Hammer and Vanilla Ice, too.
you know what? This is a good sort of cauldron. This is this would be in the introduction to the book about the reshaping of America. Is these guys, because they're very stupid, right? Okay, but
yeah,
they're a stupid populism where they believe that they speak for a group of people, and sadly they really do.
They do, and they're brilliant, certainly brilliant marketers.
But they talked about their Christian conversion with the
magnets. I've heard that too.
How do they work?
That they're
So maybe they're trying to do a thing where like you know like. You, it's just hard to, with a lot of like Tea Party people and stuff, to shake like the jingoistic and aspirations and the racism and stuff like that. So maybe these guys are trying to get also different people of different colors and races and creeds together so that they can create some sort of horrible revolution. And maybe they're in some way smarter than your Michelle Bachmann.
They're
going to
take down what they call the magnet understanding class.
Exactly.
They're fucking book learning
yep.
and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost want to go. I'm like, they yep. are just one less kind of murdery feeling.
Yeah.
And I would have bought tickets.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know if this will change your mind. I mean, I've had to look into this a little bit to see the logistics of shooting there. Mm-hmm. You have to camp.
You have to camp?
You have to camp.
Fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
Not a chance.
Man.
And I'm a camper. I camp and I backpack. Nope, I'm not camping in that shithole.
You're not afraid of mountain lions, Rob.
But. Correct. But yeah,
50,000
no.
insane clown posse fans.
You know, I don't want to go.
But a methed out guy okay. and it's not going to suck
Here's
itself
the deal.
T-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the deal. When you are a president and you declare a war and you mm-hmm. send troops in, there's a tacit understanding that your troops that you send in are going to kill innocent people. They're also going to rape people, okay? Because unfortunately, that's a weapon of war, right? That just happens. So I can't go to a place where I know that there's going to be like a rape or two here and there, like because there is at any big festival. So that's another reason I don't want to go to festivals. It's because somewhere somebody's being raped. And part of my ticket paid
for that. You feel
complicit yeah.
in sexual assault.
If you buy a ticket to a festival, you've pretty much raped someone.
Well, we'll be back in just a second. I'm Jordan Jesse Go. Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Rob Delaney also in this room.
Great. It's great to have Rob Delaney in this room. Isn't it a lot of fun?
Absolutely. You know what else is a lot of fun? Rob's monthly column in Vice. Is this monthly?
Weekly. Every Thursday.
Okay. It's very, very good.
Thank you.
Sure. The Vice magazine.
Thank you. Yeah. It's called Take a Stroll with Rob Delaney, and I'm having a lot of fun writing it.
Yeah. It's good.
Vice magazine is one of those magical things in the world that you can't figure out what to make of.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It is baffling.
Very upsetting.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you guys watched any of their VBS.TV content.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it has come on the Netflix Instant. It is both. It manages to perfectly capture what I guess may be something having to do with our generation or something. Just this combination of like amazing bravery, insight, adventure, etc. And just blithe disdain for everything in the world.
I will say this. They said to me some months ago, we're doing a comedy issue. Can you write a 2,000-word thing on anything? And I was like, oh, sure. So I did. And then after that, they invited me to write a weekly column. And they let me write whatever I want. And I suppose they must let everyone do that. And I think with that comes unspeakable horror and garbage and things you wish you had never seen, read, or known. And then also truly some really brave stuff like going into North Korea, you know, and things that other people just won't do, you know, because I think a lot of the people there are, you know, maybe have a more pronounced death wish than the rest of us. And so they'll go and they'll get the story and they'll live the story that other folks want, you know, arms trading and stuff. I mean, they'll embed into things that people would not many people would want to.
You know, it's funny. The one that I watched most recently was about arms trading. It was mm-hmm. in Afghanistan in this city that's dedicated to arms trading. They mm-hmm. were shooting there. And I was like, this is unbelievable. This is so amazing that they went to this place. And then after I watched it, I was like, I guess kind of the point of that is just that they went there.
Mm.
Like, I was like, I don't feel like I got any insight out of that, besides that this place exists and it was insane of them to go there.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't remind you of a Nick Kristoff piece Times?
No, it did not. Not quite. Not quite. Anyway, I feel like the whole magazine, I saw a nice man who used to work there and has since left, put me on the free subscription list.
Uh-huh.
So I get it, and I enjoy it. In fact, the first issue I got was that comedy issue with mm-hmm. That piece that you wrote was really wonderful.
Thank you.
Emailed you about it because I thought it was so wonderful. And a lot of great stuff in that.
Mm-hmm.
But even within, like, I think their signature segment, the do's and don'ts,
mm-hmm.
At first you're like, this is really funny, and then you're like, oh, my soul hurts.
Exactly. Each issue could probably be 40% as thick as it is. They could take out really just the hateful, disgusting garbage, and then you'd be
left. What do they call babies fags in pictures?
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. I wanted actually to talk with you, Jordan,
yes.
about something else that is not that far away from that combination of truly amazing and soul-hearty.
Well, this is... Okay, so here's an issue something that I've been kind of thinking about nonstop since I saw it. I was browsing on a pornographic website. Have you gentlemen heard of these?
Sure.
Anyways, they exist. And
we.com.
Sure, yes. And
Rob, it's French.
Gotcha.
Yeah. OUI.
I read it as a child.
Yes. Yeah, so it was a wonderful video of a woman doing an erotic oriental fan dance. So ribald. And you know, kind of for the most part, you don't have to see anything that upsets your sensibilities. But occasionally something will creep into a banner ad, which is just kind of mind blowing. And I saw this banner ad with a picture of Howard Stern's face, which was already a little bit jarring.
Sure.
And then to see this kind of recognizable...
That's the face you want to see to power up your boner.
Sure, really. Well, here's the thing. And then the caption was, they had a quote attributed to Howard Stern. It says, "The real porn that I like." And then the editorial from the banner ad people was, "Click here to see the real shit that Howard Stern likes." Which, is this the first ever celebrity porn endorsement? And who's like, fuck yeah, me and Stern jerking it to the same shit? Like, who likes Stern in that way to where they want to jerk it to the same stuff?
Juggalos?
Yeah, right? I know. This is maybe all connected.
People have a really powerful relationship with Howard Stern.
Yeah, I guess so. And I was also wondering if this was a legit endorsement by him, like if he actually said that.
Well, you'd think that if it wasn't his endorsement, I was about to say if you think it wasn't his endorsement, they would have used different diction, different word choice for there. Rather than just changing one word, they might have changed the whole phrase.
Yeah.
But maybe they just only wanted to think of one phrase, and they're like, I'm going to use that for the quote and the slogan.
I was talking to a host of a popular late-night television show that I won't name, and he ordered a piece of exercise equipment recently, and he just ordered it like in a...
I think I know who it is.
This is a Steve Allen story, if
I've
ever heard
one. It's Steve Allen, yeah. And
I was going to guess Tom Snyder.
He said nothing about it publicly, but just because he like ordered it literally online, they then started sending out spam emails to people saying, hey, this guy uses it. And he wrote them, and he was like, you don't have to tell people that since you're not paying me to do that, and I would never even take money from you to do that.
And no one wants to buy the same equipment that Charlie Rose uses.
Yeah. Right? Oh, he is yoked.
Jessica,
have you seen him lately?
Because Tavis Smiley bought it.
Sure. But
hold on.
Yes.
I need a second to imagine a world in which Rob Delaney and Tavis Smiley are best pals.
Oh, I love him. Love him very much.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a lot of fun.
That's going to be my happy place. I'm going to teach that to Teresa for the birth.
So I guess I just started thinking about there is a world of people out there who this works on, who love Howard Stern mm-hmm. so intensely that they want to watch the same porn that he watches. Like, that's such a weird relationship to a celebrity. And I was thinking about, like, is there anyone they could have put in this banner ad that would have worked on me?
We know, here's the thing. I want to get into that, but
sure.
we know people. I know because once I was quoted on Howard Stern News, which is a real segment on the Howard Stern Show. For those who don't listen, it's a segment where they talk about news relating to Howard Stern.
Oh, gosh.
There's a newsman that comes on and reads all the Howard Stern news that's fit to read. Mm. And it's in classic commercial radio format. It's just gathered from other sources. Mm-hmm. It's not original news reporting on Howard Stern because they're in the same room. It's just someone has mentioned Howard Stern. And I once, in an interview with the Nyman Journalism Lab at Harvard, mentioned Howard Stern and people's like relationship to Howard Stern and him going to satellite. I don't even remember what. And I was mentioned on the Howard Stern news, and I immediately got a congratulatory email from Paul Scheer and Rob Corddry.
Yeah. Oh, Rob Corddry loves him. He posted one of the filthiest things I've ever seen in my life. A YouTube video of a woman riding a Sibian sex toy, which is, if you don't know what it is, it's this thing you sit on.
It's a fuck machine.
Yeah, it's a fuck machine, and it's supposed to induce these insane orgasms. Anyway, and it was a woman sitting on one of those while some old man like said just filth to her, and Rob Corddry posted it. And I watched the whole thing, but I would never seek that out, but I sure did watch it, and I laughed a lot, and it kind of accessed a part of my sense of humor that I didn't know that I had. Really enjoyed it. Well, might not ever see anything like that again, and that's okay. But yeah, Rob Corddry loves him.
And they're not alone. I mean, let's talk about your people who are dedicated adherents of the world of Howard Stern. I know in public radio, for example, both Terry Gross and Ira Glass are devoted Howard Stern fans.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Ira Glass's wife hates public radio. Hates listening to public radio, and so they just listen to the Stern Channel in their car, she told me one time. And Terry Gross, like, I don't know if you've ever heard Terry Gross's interview with Artie Lang, but it is like interviewing someone involved in 6 feet under level of Terry Gross sycophancy.
Sure.
Like, it is just epic scale, and obviously both of these people are among my favorite broadcasters in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, and Stern is a genius broadcaster. I mean, I don't think you can take, whether or not you like him, and I personally, I don't know really if I haven't spent enough time, but he is a brilliant broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rush Limbaugh. Like, you can just, Rush Limbaugh is a brilliant broadcaster. Like, he's a real twat. And I don't want to listen to his show.
Yeah.
But I can listen to his show for half an hour and I can be like, shit, this guy knows what the fuck he is doing.
Okay.
Like, this guy knows his shit.
I had a dream about him the other night. It was not terribly interesting. Just, he would chase me through a building and then he hid in a bus.
It was like a tag?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
I think it's sort of, maybe it's sort of like watching Jay Leno do the monologue on The Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're like, I hate this, but he really knows what he's doing with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not for me. But he's really taking it. He's got a craft.
Well, it's kind of like Tom Cruise, for example. You know, like Tom Cruise, like, you can, all right, here's the deal. They are skilled at what they do. They do have an innate talent, but just like Michael Jordan practiced every day, you can get better. Tom Cruise, for example, started out not terribly interesting to watch. Now he's riveting. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Sure.
You know, you can't take your eyes off him. You like him. Don't tell me that you don't, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think since these guys have been doing it for decades upon decades, you're going to get better. And if you have a spark in there for real, then you're going to get great over
guess,
that much time.
I guess what?
Malcolm Gladwell.
I guess what?
Any excuse to mention that.
To make yourself sound smart.
Sorry, what?
I guess what we're trying to say, Jordan, is that you would probably watch any porn that Rush Limbaugh told you to.
Yeah, right? I mean, will we go in that direction to where
any porn that's mentioned in Jay Leno's monologue.
Yeah.
You will run out.
You know, I was thinking, I'm like, who would be in that box that would make me click on
I
that
know.
Box?
I know. For me, it would be like a roller derby girl, like whatever she liked to watch. Some, or a speed skater, some powerful
oh,
woman.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Broad
like
shoulders.
Yeah.
Maybe a colored streak in her hair.
I don't know. I don't know what they want to watch.
Maybe the Bride of Frankenstein.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, no, that would be kind of just kind of like
we're
a social.
We're talking about the Bride of Frankenstein,
oh, yeah.
Right? That's what you're describing, Jordan?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, just like, then though, that might be kind of something to have a very specific social archetype in that mm-hmm. box, like a derby girl or a, mm-hmm. you know, like a
I have
guy.
I have to cut this off.
Sure.
And number one, I think it's sweet of Rob to say derby girl, but it's a bullshit answer
huh.
because he has to pick something that's recommending the porn that he would not be interested in involving sexually in the sexual experience.
What?
So I think that that's the baseline for me, is that if you are picking the porn that's
some of these guys don't want Howard Stern to watch them jack off, like they don't want Howard Stern in the room, because I think some of them probably do.
Well,
are you saying because I want to have sex with a Derby girl, I wouldn't want to watch the same thing?
No, I'm saying that because you want to have sex with a Derby girl, mm-hmm. it's kind of a cop out to say the porn that a Derby girl wants me to watch.
I guess you know what I think I'm saying. I think you're half right. I want to watch a Derby girl masturbate.
Right.
That's I think what I'm saying.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's where where it goes, because these dudes don't want to watch Howard Stern masturbate, do mm-hmm. they? Mm-hmm. They're just willing.
I bet there's a pocket.
They're just willing to go there with Howard Stern because they believe in him.
Yeah. Just so they, if they ever ran into him on the street, they would have something to talk about. Like, hey, I saw that real shit you like. I think to me, the celebrity in the box that would most cause me to click, and I say this only half joking, John Lovitz. Think about, just because like that voice to me is so enticing. Like, think about him reading the copy. Come on in, see the real shit that I like. Me, Lovitz. I thought about that as a joke, and then I'm like, you know what? That's probably honestly the one that would work the most. Anyways.
That's really beautiful, Jordan.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that you have that.
So, I don't know if Lovitz is listening. There is an audience if you want to endorse a certain kind of pornography.
In our audience right now, there are like, I would say 10,000 people just thinking, Colbert.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, I think Colbert could pull that off. He could mm-hmm. he could endorse a line of pornos.
If you ever talk to a public radio person, and I think this is probably true in other parts of journalism, but it's especially true in public radio, since public radio is a little bit more granola-y. It's not mm-hmm. very granola-y, but relative to other kinds of journalism. It's a little bit more liberal arts college-y. Mm-hmm. I think that you would get a 75% hit rate on, would you watch the porn that Stephen Colbert recommended to you?
Yeah.
The passionate relationship between these people and Stephen Colbert. These people who, and I want to be clear, for the most part, have no interest in any other comedy at all.
Sure, sure.
These are not 30 Rock watchers. There's just something magical about previously Jon Stewart, and still to some extent, but mostly Stephen Colbert. He's a very handsome man.
He is.
Too handsome to be funny. Mm-hmm. He's a real Delaney type in that sense.
Delaney-esque. How about you guys? Do you have a celebrity porn that you're like, okay, I'll go there with you. I'll at least check this out. Mm-hmm. If you say this is the real shit.
Oh, I don't know. I bet Dustin Hoffman likes some weird shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needs somewhere to put that big schnoz.
For me, it's got to be somebody from the Antiques Roadshow, but I'm trying to figure out who.
Which one in particular?
Yeah, well, for one thing, most of them would want me to watch gay porn.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, I might be willing to go there with them, but it's not my choice. It's not my preference.
Yeah. Just like, hey, guys, I just need to make sure the P in PBS stands for pussy, right? Like,
can I tell you about a gay...
They're like, yeah, but the B stands for butthole.
Butthole.
When I used to use magazines printed on paper to pleasure myself,
would you lube them up?
Yeah. I would...
we're from the internet generation.
I know. In the back of them, they would have ads for things, pornos that you could order, but there would always be gay stuff in there too, in the back of like a straight magazine.
Yeah, sure.
There would always be gay stuff. And so I can remember as a kid masturbating and being like, I wonder if I'm gay. And I would like try to masturbate to like the gay stuff.
Oh, well.
Yeah. And I'd be like, nah, I guess no. But I'd be like, really try. And then I'd be like, yep, back to the ladies. And I want people to know that.
Yeah. Oh, gee.
Oh, nuts.
I'll never be gay now.
Yeah.
I really like if I don't know like the one somebody on the roadshow's got to be straight, right?
Like
one
you
of
know,
the dudes
I don't
on
know.
The roadshow
yeah,
has
sure.
got to be straight.
Likes
one of these dudes that I one of the dudes that I think is really cool. Like maybe the Scottish guy. I'm gonna pretend that the Scottish guy who talks about paintings on the Antiques Roadshow,
yeah,
is straight.
Maybe he would have a line to some busty redheads.
Yeah, the one thing that I would not want to know is what kind of porn Mark L. Wahlberg wants me to watch.
Yeah. Stay away from that.
No, sir. Not interested. Not interested, Rob. I do not want to know.
I won't tell you.
World's worst Mark Wahlberg.
Huh? Oh, God, you saying that thing about the occasional ad for the gay stuff in the porno magazine reminded me of something kind of semi, not traumatic, but something like that I still remember from my kind of formative years of like exploring dad's closet.
Sure.
I found a VHS tape, and it was something that was, it was just kind of porno scenes, but in under the guise of this being like an educational journey for lovers, like something like it was like, this is like, you know how they would kind of like show a nudist film in the 20s. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is just porno, but like, no, it's a documentary about nudists. Like, it was just some porno scenes kind of strung together with this, like, oh, this is educational to like help your marriage kind of through line.
Kind of them.
Anyway, so you're like, oh, this is great. I'm 13. I'm enjoying this. And then there's a scene where the kind of doctor that's leading you through it comes on. He's like, now we will explore the male sexuality. We will show you film of a man masturbating, and even if you're not a homosexual, you should be able to watch and enjoy this. And kind of with the thing of like, hey, straight dudes, like, watch this. And I never looked at the thing again because that was so jarring to me.
Weird.
And then I've always felt like maybe I have a little bit of homophobia because I wouldn't watch this jack off scene. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel I live in the gay neighborhood.
Sure. Well, hey, that's...
I go to brunch.
Well, you also don't want to... people's sex is for them. Honestly, I don't even want to watch people do it unless... if they know I'm watching. I'll watch through a window, but...
Sure.
But yeah. Somebody being like, hey, watch me masturbate.
You've cut little holes and put lenses in them.
And yeah, I didn't know if I was supposed to like passively... watch. Uh-huh. I don't know. I was confused.
I think it's kind of nice, though, that they have that in there. Because it's like... it's like the people who make this porno, they're like, look, some dudes are gay. Mm-hmm. And if they can't bring themselves to buy actual pornography, they almost certainly can't bring themselves to buy gay pornography.
Good point. That's sweet.
Yeah. And, you know, I've also heard that, you know, like stag films in the 20s would have a little gay stuff in there just because, like, you know, there's not a specialized industry. Like, oh, you had one reel that you showed at your bachelor party, so there had to be a little something for everyone.
Okay.
So there was like also... So yeah, I think this is probably on that same principle.
There was also a film of a famous train crash.
Right, and a cowboy shot a gun at the lens and everyone ducked.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la. Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective...
Rob Delaney here as well.
Man alive. So, Rob, just so you know, on this program, we occasionally will share messages from our audience, sort of Jumbotron style.
Mm-hmm.
It is an affordable advertising program, $100 for a personal message, $200 for a commercial message at this point, I think. And we have two messages on this week's program. We've been booking these things up solid. This has just been booked solid. You got an email, Teresa.
Get them while they're hot, people.
Jiminy Christmas. Okay. So, first of all, a commercial message, a longtime listener of ours, Samuel Hansen, big booster of The Sound of Young America and Jordan Jesse Go for many years, and a podcaster, he runs the Acme Science Podcast, has started a Kickstarter project to do an 8-episode podcast about the world of mathematics. The idea is it's going to be called Relatively Prime. It is like a, it is a behind-the-scenes type situation. It is, he says, not for math people. I mean, math people will probably like it.
Sure.
Right? That's the kind of thing they like, right?
Podcasting. Yeah, well, that and Math Blaster.
They fucking hate Rita Rabbit, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. You want to punch Mavis Beacon in her smug fucking face. But Math Blaster. These are computer games you would play in elementary school.
So he is trying to raise the money to make this 8-episode podcast. It is at bit.ly/relprime, R-E-L prime, bit.ly/relprime for relatively prime. And of course, we always have these links in our forum as well if anyone else has any concerns or issues. But, he's kicking things off a little bit at a time. He's already raised almost $2,500. Towards his goal of $8,000. You get all these cool prizes. I think it's a pretty nice thing that he's doing this. He's got some cool. He's got some cool logo action. He's got a cool video. It was a nice thing.
Sure,
a lot of Max Funsters. A lot of Max Funsters already supporting it. I see from the Facebook here. This is going to be great. It's going to be tremendous, Jordan.
Why wouldn't it be?
Very excited about this. bit.ly/relprime. And also, we have a new personal ad this week. Love is in
right,
the air.
Slow down,
Jordan.
There, my brother and me. You don't need to write a song for each one.
Love is in the air, Jordan.
Okay.
Love is in the air for our
hot
friend.
Off the heels of the successful fuckfest that was last month's personal ad.
Ian Brill.
Yeah.
Longtime friend of MaximumFun.org. Mm-hmm. The former Pod Thoughts columnist,
yes,
on MaximumFun.org. A really sweet guy, a very lovable guy,
sure,
I would say.
I've met him a few times. He's a delight.
Totally not crazy or weird at all. Super friendly and great. 28 years old. He is a single professional living in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Southern California, for those of you keeping track,
sure,
regionally speaking. He writes,
so if you are listening from San Bernardino,
he writes,
not an unreasonable drive.
He writes and edits comic books. He writes the comic book series Darkwing Duck,
mm-hmm,
which is a real comic book series based on the television show, the short-lived children's television show from the early 1990s that is actually astonishingly successful, at least in comic book terms, or so Ian Brill tells me. He actually put Chip Dipson and Dip Dobson into Darkwing Duck once. He loves going to the repertory cinema,
mm-hmm,
houses of Los Angeles, such as the Cine Family. He likes to discover new things, especially new restaurants. This is what he says. I think this is nice. He says, a lot about living in Los Angeles can be stressful. So I figure, why not make an effort to really enjoy the things that are special here?
Oh,
if I had that attitude, I'd be a much happier person. I would be so much less resentful. Anyway, he's looking for nice, cool ladies to check out restaurants and stuff with. And I will say I have actually met Ian Brill on a number of occasions. And I will say that while I cannot guarantee a love connection, I can tell you you'll have a very pleasant time if you go discover a new restaurant with Ian Brill, because he's a really pleasant guy.
I like his name, Ian Brill.
Yeah.
I know, right?
I could say that for a lifetime.
Yeah. Brill. Well, are you writing
you
Mrs.
Could be
are you
Mrs.
writing
Brill.
Mrs. Rob Brill, yeah, down on your, yeah, notepad
little,
right now?
A little bit.
Anyway, you can email Ian at ibrill, B-R-I-L-L, like the Brill building, ibrill@gmail.com, and bit.ly/relprime for our other sponsor. If you want to sponsor an upcoming episode of Jordan Jesse Go, just email Teresa at teresa@maximumfun.org, T-H-E-R-E-S-A. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Oh, Rob, your microphone is like 3 feet.
I brought it closer.
Closer, Rob Delaney. Oh, great to have Rob Delaney on the show.
It is good.
Great to be up here in the new inner sanctum. I was surrounded by books of spells.
Sure. A whirlpool that shows you what could have been. Yeah.
Speaking of whirlpools that show you what could have been,
mm-hmm,
why don't we listen to some momentous occasions?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jackie. This is Mike in Pittsburgh. So I'm waiting outside the local convention center for my bus home to D.C. for the weekend. And inside the convention center is apparently the world's largest furry convention. So outside as well, there's tons of people in full furry regalia walking around the street. And I saw a family let their kid hug one of these people in the full furry regalia. And I just wonder if these parents know that this is the equivalent of letting your kid hug a dildo. Okay, guys. Talk to you all later. Bye.
That's magical.
Yeah, no, I bet if you are a little kid and you're passing that, it's like, oh my God, Disneyland exploded, and here it is, but...
I wonder how long it took the guy to clean off the inside of his furry suit after he hugged that kid.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Whole convention.
There's got to be like a discreet furry dry cleaner, like somewhere where like you can bring your cum-soaked wolf outfit and not be judged. Like
now, the last time that furries came up on Jordan Jesse Go, I think it was when our pal Shani Jardin was on the show from BoingBoing.net.
Yep. She's the best.
She's awesome. She was so great, and she was careful to explain to us that furry is not just about sex. Sex is only one element of the furry subculture.
Tell me more.
Well, it's sort of like a role-playing type thing.
Okay.
Again, it still sounds like sex.
Yep.
It's like they each have their own guy that they pretend to be, and then they go to these things to sort of prance about with each
mm-hmm.
other, not just to fuck each other.
Yeah, but what do you prance? What do you leave the house? You know, like come. Yeah, it's.
Are you just saying that the only reason to live is furry fucking?
Yes,
that,
exactly.
Am I understanding this
in
correctly?
Hopes that I would meet another. Just that's why I attached the foxtail to the back of my jeans.
I would never say it's not okay to be a furry, but I am saying that if like shit got a little worse, like globally, you know, like if global median temperature went up 12 degrees, or if there was more of a nuclear threat, that shit would just stop, and people would be like, okay, I gotta do some real stuff here.
So you're saying that this is like you're looking at this from a sort of a Marxist perspective.
Yeah. This is something that happens towards the end of a society.
This is like capitalists. You're like all those capitalists and their outfit fucking.
Mm-hmm.
So decadent, so
yeah,
Western.
Yeah.
Hi, Jordan and Jesse. This is Sarah from Chicago. Actually, my husband just called a few minutes earlier about us being cash cabs, but later on this walk, we were crossing a one-way, and all of a sudden, even though I had the right-of-way while crossing the road, a taxi driver turned into that street and yelled at me, called me a dummy, and then I got to yell back at him, "You're going the wrong way, you dummy." And all of a sudden, the entire corner noticed that this taxi driver was going the wrong way on a one-way and just heard that exchange with us and started screaming at him, "Yeah, dummy, you're going the wrong way, dummy. You're going the wrong way, dummy." As like a chanting started. And then the customers in the backseat of the taxi started screaming at him. And he just sat there. And I don't know what else happened because I had to continue to walk on that amazing event. I couldn't stick around. But we love you, Jordan, and we love you, Jesse. Have a good show.
That was really sweet.
That really made me happy.
That's a lot of fun.
The universe comes around, doesn't it?
Man, I'm not a person who like, you know, give somebody what for when I get bad service. Like,
uh-huh.
I'll, like, be a little cranky about it, but I won't, like...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't, like, send back food
sure.
and stuff like that. But when a cab driver tells me that they won't take a credit card
uh-huh.
because, like, their machine is broken,
yeah.
that riles me up basically more than, like, hearing about a genocide in
yeah,
the
yeah.
news.
Sure.
So, I really enjoy...
Especially because a lot of times it's like you have to pay with a credit card for business trip purposes or whatever.
Well, that's
and
mostly
also
me
they're
anyways.
Lying.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
is both things. It's for me, that is when I do a cab, is when I need to give a receipt back to my accounting, blah, blah, blah. And yes, also you're lying.
Yeah.
Like, everything takes a credit card. I enjoyed, for some, I don't know why that upsets me more than like,
it would be,
you know, when my dry cleaning isn't ready when they say it's going to be.
It would be great if there was just an angry mob that was just around whenever you needed it.
That would be great.
Yeah.
What I'm most struck by is the use of only the word dummy. It never escalated beyond that. I want to live in a world where people are like, "You dummy."
Yeah.
That would make me feel worse if somebody was like, "You dummy.
You really fought it on my cheesecake."
Yeah.
You know, not everything...
Screwhead.
Not everything in the world is happy, which is why we have this segment called Moments of Shame,
mm.
where people call in when something really shameful happens to them, or just to share a story of... I think that time is an important part of being able to share these stories.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to... While we ask momentous occasions, as soon as you can, you call in.
Sure.
Even during... We like a during
oh, yeah.
momentous occasion. With moments of shame, it can have happened any time in your life, and we do have one this week.
Hi, Jordan and Jesse, and probable guest. This is Andrew from San Diego. I'm calling with both a momentous occasion and a moment of shame. my friend from Seattle was just visiting me, and I took her to a nice sushi place. And as we were leaving, I had a fart coming, and I waited until she was, you know, a good enough distance away from me, and she was wondering kind of why I was hanging back a little bit. And when I decided to just let it rip and just deal with the consequences, and I shat myself. So I had to explain to her that I just pooped my pants. And it smells really bad in the car right now. I'm not saying anything.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I didn't know it got that real.
Mm-hmm. She was in the car at the time? Is that what's happening?
I think they both had to drive home together.
Oh, God.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
That is powerful.
I don't have sympathy for him. I'm glad he shat his pants. And I'm surprised. I frown on him.
I'm surprised to hear that.
because he was eating ethnic food.
Yeah, that's the
issue.
He
shouldn't have been.
That's a good point.
Shouldn't have been eating sushi.
Yeah, if you don't want to poop your pants, don't hit the markets in Istanbul.
Yeah, stick to biscuits and gravy.
Or
something American.
Wherever it is that you get sushi at.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know where to get it.
I don't even know how it's pronounced. Sushi? Sure. Mm-hmm. Sushi?
I know what you're saying. I understand the word you're trying to get at, but I don't know it either.
Yeah.
Right.
I've heard about it.
I do like biscuits and gravy, though.
Those are good.
I've been making biscuits and gravy sometimes lately.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's good.
Sure.
Rob.
Hey.
That's good.
Yeah, it is.
That's good stuff. Yeah, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Rob Delaney, favorite guest, probably.
Yeah.
No,
sure is.
That's fine.
Is it time? Well, if there was a favorite guest that was other than Rob Delaney, it would probably be Dave Holmes.
Sure.
And they're basically best buddies. They do a show together every month in Los Angeles.
Right,
so
we sure do.
It's tough for me to distinguish between them, I guess.
Uh-huh, sure.
And it's just because my eyes are just clouded with
glaucoma.
Affection.
I bet if there weren't the huge roadblocks in the way of you being married and Dave Holmes being a homosexual, you guys could switch out on dates.
Yeah, I think we probably could.
Like a fun twins.
And for the novelty of it, I would do it anyway. I would do it now, the way things are, no matter what it would do to my marriage.
Just because... Why not? Just
anecdotal value.
It's fun to trick people, too.
It really is.
Let it roll. That's what I say. Always let it roll. Anyway, Rob Delaney, our guest, I have to ask you one thing before we wrap this program up, which is this. I spent the last 2 days making dad preparations.
Yes.
We're up in this new place because we had to clear out a bedroom for the baby.
Yes.
I had to do dad type stuff, like install a garage door opener.
Sure.
I feel like I will never top this level of. I am at the current apex of my daddiness.
Sure.
Yeah. But well, just wait till you start getting movie titles wrong.
Boy.
You should do a little bit of that in preparation.
Good point.
But you. I know this, Rob, because the last time we tried to have you on Jordan Jesse Go, you couldn't for the very reasonable reason that it was the day that your baby was due.
Yeah.
So your baby's just a couple of months old now.
3 months old, yeah.
I wonder if you can offer me, is this your first baby?
It is, yeah.
So I wonder if this will also be my first baby. We don't have another baby down in the
sure,
basement,
sure.
The sub-basement, I guess is what I'm saying. We're doing sort of a Casper Hauser thing with him. I wonder if you can give me any guidance.
I would just say babies require very, very little in the beginning. They require a tremendous amount of attention, but physical things, like you could do, and I'm not kidding.
Lifting?
Yeah, I mean, you could do almost nothing to prepare your home for it, and you'd be okay, and your baby would kind of walk you through what it needed, quite honestly. Just breathe.
It does some yelping, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they make an amazing amount of noise in the beginning. And not crying, because, sure, they'll cry in the beginning, but their breathing is incredibly loud because all their respiratory stuff is all smushed up like a pug in the beginning. So,
wow.
So they're breathing. So, like, at night, you're like, what is it? It's almost scary. so I would just say, you know, I have certainly no original advice to offer other than I'm a man and you're a man, and I know some men people...
I'm not the man you are.
Well...
I'm half a man compared to you.
But, you know,
let's see. Let's see who gets further in the P90X, huh?
A lot of guys will say.
That's a dick contest of some kind, right?
It's like a sword fight with dicks.
Yeah. Gotcha.
P90X.
A lot of guys will say, like, get sleep while you can because you're not going to get any more. And the next 6 months of your life are going to be fucking garbage, you know, and men will say terrible things to each other. And that's been my experience. That has not been true. There's nothing I love more than my baby. All I want to do is be near it and smell it. It's a him. I'll call him a him.
And podcast.
And podcast here
some
and there.
Like podcast.
But it's so magnificent and magical. So, you know, sleep when it sleeps is something they say that really makes sense because you will be sleep deprived. The best preparation for having a baby is if you've had been through any duress in your life, like as someone that you love died. That's great preparation. Have you gone through real grief or difficulty? Have you gone through a time where you're like, how am I going to pay my rent? And had to do something insane or crazy to make it happen. Any horribly
war.
Stressful war. War would mm-hmm. be, yeah, soldiers make great fathers. We all know that. So
I certainly, from personal experience,
yeah,
I can tell you that that's definitely the case.
So it's the best thing ever times a million. And just try to breathe and be present and hang out and just...
I almost forgot. Speaking of babies, our friend Ebeth,
mm-hmm.
one of our best listener supporters, Ebeth from New Jersey, just had her first baby recently.
Oh, cool!
Just about I'm going to say 3 months ago now, maybe
mm-hmm.
something like that, right around a Rob Delaney type time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And they try and sync that up. It's sort of like a lady.
Yeah.
It's like women in a women's prison whose periods all
exactly. Finished. A lot of podcast listeners try to synchronize their births.
And she was kind. She and her husband were kind enough to send us a kind of a fun. She was sort of one of the organizers of the pen pal club.
Yeah,
where all the Max Funsters send each other packages full of fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent us sort of a baby theme package full of fun stuff. But
oh, cool.
I think she was worried, Rob, that if she sent me and Teresa a big box full of baby stuff,
yeah,
maybe little brother would be jealous.
Yeah, Jordan would be upset.
Sure.
I understand. That makes sense.
It happens with new babies.
Yeah.
Because Jordan doesn't know any of his children.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
He's just not part of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
they're all over the place. I mean, you'd almost need your own airline to see them all with any regularity.
He does have
well,
his own
yeah,
airline.
You know, and I'm also not financially responsible because any children you conceive at the gathering of the Juggalos are
yeah,
officially part of the
tribe.
They're actually property of the insane
murder kill records family.
They just get handed off. Hey, Clown Riders.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they were called? The Clown Riders?
Yeah.
I think it was.
The Knife Dicks.
But she anticipated that Jordan might feel jealous. And so, Rob, if you could grab that gift that's right behind
sure.
you there, right over your right shoulder.
Oh, good. Okay, well...
She was nice
that
enough...
That is nice. Very nice. And
she was nice enough to make this nice package that came in our box just for Jordan.
Okay, aww. I'll shake it a little bit. Any guesses?
Blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were both thinking blocks.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Oh.
Jordan, read the card.
Oh, I don't.
Jesus
what
Christ.
If it's personal?
What kind of boor...
What if it's personal? Then definitely read it.
Yeah, okay.
What kind of boor are you?
No, I'm sorry. I thought maybe the
card... Are you worried it might be sexual?
I don't know.
Edith is married.
I hear those recently... Women who have recently...
It's a very romantic time right after you have your baby.
Yeah,
I'll
you
want
to just really mail dudes some nasty notes. Dear Jordan, you're not having a baby, but you're still amazing. Consolation
but
gift.
But you are a baby.
Sure, yes, I am baby-like. Consolation gift for you. It's tough to not be in the spotlight when while there are other people in it. It's true. I do love attention. And so I got... Oh, a CNET game based on The Simpsons.
Wow. Right on.
No, that's like grown-up blocks.
That's a that's a very nice gift.
Very, well, absolutely. And I do. I will fucking clean up at this, too, by the way.
My thanks to Ebeth, and I also want to thank everybody I want to thank everybody who launched a surprise baby shower at Max FunCon. Did I already thank these people last week, Jordan?
No, you didn't. Go
thank him again.
Do it.
Thank you, especially Reese Dixon and her husband, who organized the whole thing. And Reese Dixon, whose real name is Teresa, was kind enough to make the baby a quilt with the Max Fun rocket ship on it.
Oh, that's so cute.
Which was really lovely. And and everybody, like literally dozens of people at Max Fun Con, got us little gifts of various kinds for the baby. It was
that's
a total
very
surprise.
Sweet.
It was right at the end of Max FunCon. It was so great. They had to trick Julia, the producer of The Sound of Young America, had to trick Teresa into not going home early because Teresa was feeling real pregnant and lousy, and she was like, "I'm just gonna skip out before lunch," which is the last event of Max FunCon. And Julia was like, "Oh no, I need you to do something at lunch." And
that's a good one.
It was a surprise. I know.
Sly.
Remember that one.
Yeah. Very sly.
I'll use that.
Remember that one for the next
time. Just tell them you need them to do something.
Remember that for the next time you get caught cutting in on Dave Holmes's date. So thanks to all those Max sponsors. How wonderfully nice is this? And we're going to try and, I don't know how many Jordan Jesse Goes we're going to successfully record once the baby's due at the end of July. Who knows what's going to happen? I really don't. We got some great guest hosts on The Sound of Young America lined up. And I think we're going to make Jordan Jesse Goes. I mean, my feeling is that we're going to try not to not be working, but I think I might appreciate having the opportunity to do something like make a Jordan Jesse Go when it happens.
Yeah, so, I bet you will.
But I want to thank everybody who gave. That was really, really sweet. It was really touching. I'm very touched right now. That's a euphemism for developmentally disabled.
Sure. It was so nice, it made me retarded.
206-9844-FUN, our telephone number, jjgo@maximumfun.org, our email address. Follow Rob Delaney on the tweeters at Rob Delaney.
That's my name.
If you happen to be listening to this right when it goes up and you're in North Carolina, you got a gig on Wednesday, right?
Yeah. Oh, and you know who's joining me? John Worster.
Oh, wow.
How cool is that?
That's very cool. What's he going to do?
Drum? Play the drum?
It's a secret. I don't want to say what he's going to do, but it won't be music. I'll tell you that much.
Oh.
And he's just a hero of mine. I'm very excited.
So it's going to be Super Chunk.
Yeah. No, it's not, because they're music. Remember? Do you see?
I'm just joking.
Oh, okay.
Just joking. That's tremendous. Oh, just Wednesday night.
Where
is it at?
It's at the Cat's Cradle in Carrborough, which is right next to Chapel Hill.
How do people find out this information?
You could go to my Twitter, or you could go to the Cat's Cradle website. I think it might be like catscradlenc.com.
It's going to be a hell of a show.
Yeah,
is Worcester just in town? You flying him in?
He lives there. He lives there because Superchunk is based there, as are the Mountain Goats, and he plays drums for both of those Sons of Guns.
Both of those. I unfortunately, because we were moving, I had to miss the Mountain Goats on Thursday night. John Darnielle was kind enough to extend an invitation, and we couldn't go
because
we had to move on for first thing on Friday morning. We're like, we can't.
Me too. I had my own show that I had to do, or I so wanted to go.
That's
I hate
a great
that
thing.
I missed them.
That guy's a winner.
He's the best.
Okay, anyway. jjgo@maximumfun.org. Our special thanks to The Free Design. Love You by The Free Design is our theme music. You can find it on their album, Kites Are Fun, the best of The Free Design, courtesy of them and Light in the Attic Records. We'll talk to you next time right here on Jordan Jesse Go.